Hello, patrons. Welcome to the post show. Let's talk about week six. I think a slow burn, but I still enjoyed the RP in the middle. I think that was kind of everyone did. Let's talk about the beginning, I guess, because the first hour was something that I think a lot of people wanted to see come to fruition. We actually care about our characters, I think. And we didn't want to fight that.
That was, of course, like the cliffhanger that was left on last time we played. But obviously, I got taken out by some rocks.
Well, Adam rolled 224, so the Adam luck did its thing, as it normally does.
Exactly. And when that happened, like, right out the gate, I was like, I don't know if I want to fight under these circumstances. You already popped your rage.
Yeah. Well, I have two uses of rage, but yes.
Yeah, I love how we didn't actually like do an actual fight, and he just went down anyways.
Yeah,
before he even started.
Yeah, no, it's become the thing. I just own that. That's a part of Elmer. Sometimes he's really badass. Most of the time, he just gets taken down pretty early on. But honestly, I think what we need to do, like, even though I am stealthy, I'll stealth to a point. But you're not stealthy, Baron. Your character Baron's not very stealthy, but you're tanky. So if you do encounter something, you'll still be alive. I think is the thing.
Yeah,
and that's what we did, I believe, the session before, and it went a lot better. As we had,
kind of. I mean, the big thing there is that the biggest issue was that you walked into a trap. So you're, I think that was also a big learning moment for you on Velomir. It's like, I need to look for traps.
Well, the thing is, on Pathfinder, and again, I'm not comparing Pathfinder D&D. They are very similar and stuff. And I know on Pathfinder to do like detect tracks, detect magic. I don't know if it operates the exact same way here. Like on D&D regular, do you just detect traps? Do I say detect traps, or do I say I'm going to do perception check or something like that? Like, what is the protocol?
Yeah.
Had you even mentioned your character being wary of traps, I probably would have given you a roll for it, but you're like, I just go in. I'm going to cross the hallway. I'm going to go on your thing. Here we go.
Basically in the future, just go like, I'm looking around for traps.
Learning
process. Let me know like what your character is actually doing. And when you described like I crossed the hallway, I was like, oh, you triggered the trap then. Cool.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah. Besides, it made chat very happy.
Yeah, they love it when you get your ass kicked.
Yeah, that's true.
I think like you were saying, it's like we do care about our characters, but also too, like when you said like pick him up, we're leaving, I was like, yes, thank you. Because Velomir was gonna get up and be like, fuck this shit. Because really, what's the payoff there? Like we get back, that's it. Like we get XP, of course.
Yeah.
Right. We also have to remember too, like that we're role playing our characters, which are magistrates, and we do have this higher order, higher, you know, purpose to set out and resolve. And it has nothing to do with a little girl from a village and some kobolds. Like this is like a new thing that the village is having. So when we got back into the village, I think that kind of became more clear to us.
I mean, like after a certain point, if the kobolds aren't able, or if the villagers were not able to deal with the kobolds on their own, probably someone, magistrates, would have gotten called in to deal with it anyway. So dealing with monsters that are plaguing a village is definitely like part of your job, but it's up to you to decide like which things to do and when, right? Like you have a lot of autonomy in that regard. Mm-hmm. I think the encounter, the little kobold cave encounter thing was interesting because it's really easy as a GM to leverage what you don't know against you.
Both
in the sense of like, you know, I know where, like I know, and the kobolds know like where you are and what's going on and like where to wait for you and how to trigger that trap and all that stuff. Like they were prepared. And so sometimes even though they're just kobolds and you know, your PCs, they have the advantage of knowing what's going on. Whereas that's not the case with y'all. You just said like, here's a hallway. Who knows what's beyond there? Who knows how big the, you know, the cave is or how many creatures are in there, that kind of stuff. Information is very important when it comes to
themselves. Don't scare me too much because they die pretty quickly. It's more just if they have a decent amount, if they corner one of us, pack tactics and that kind of stuff. Like themselves are not very threatening. Like once you fight them, like kind of separated, but they could have like, you know, seven or a dozen, and then that's a problem. Like
they counter our biggest weakness is we don't have AOE. So there's a lot of the little of them, and we can only pick off maybe one at a time. Right. So they're always going to usually get a few hits up on us, and if you crit, we're down.
The thing is, like for me, because your AC is so high, the two of you, and I need to have as many rolls as I can. Plus they have pack tactics. So if you're getting attacked by three of them, it's really six chances that I have to get 18 or higher. Things tend to either be tragic and that I crit, or we just miss. They just throw themselves against your
armor. There's no like middle of the road stuff there.
Yeah, well, the higher your AC, the more you put the NPCs in a position to either miss or crit, but not just hit you. Then to hit you, they have to get a high number, and then if I roll a 20, then it's the extra damage. So we get these like big spikes of damage rather than like the slow arc, because they don't have the same to hit bonus that you have for your AC to protect you.
Right, right.
If I had a full glass here, I'd be saying, let's pour one out for Plum.
I think it was interesting as a word to see the chat react to us retreating there, especially when we knew Twee was in there. I think the three of us as characters, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong in this, I honestly don't think we give a fuck about Plum's death or Twee's death. Like, I think maybe I have a little bit of sense in the fact that we were supposed to kind of protect Plum, and then maybe that's where we're sad about it, but like, we're all fucking soldiers and we're all magistrates.
It's noblesse.
Death isn't something that we're used to around us.
Well, it's noblesse oblige, right? Where it's like, you are better than them. You're a higher social rank than this peasant soldier. But to what degree are you as a noble obligated to protect your lessers, right?
Right.
Like, is that a thing that you personally like care about that much or not? And the people of the world, they are looking for you to protect them. And so the fact that Plum died does change people's opinion of you, right?
Like, yeah.
They may not have a direct effect in terms of like, now you have to go to jail or whatever, but it does change people's opinion.
Sure. I can speak to like Velimir's. I always try to view every scenario as like, okay, me, Max, if I'm playing a game, yeah, I'd be viewing it this way. But then I reel myself in and be like, well, I'm a magistrate. My guy is very focus driven. He goes to the next thing and he's worried about really just the overall safety of like what his orders are and, you know, the bigger picture. And in that realm of thought, like a little girl, even though it sucks the fate that, you know, befell her,
yeah,
like it's not worth risking this entire town. And he recognizes like, okay, they're kobolds, that it sucks, but we got to move on, right? Like our time is more valuable spent on other things than just chasing one girl and potentially like wasting time and resources and energy.
So yeah,
that's how Velimir tackles things. It's not so much that he doesn't care. It's just like, he has a very calculated mind.
Well, part of the responsibility is making choices, right? Is knowing, you know, when to pursue what. One thing that I think you're as a group running into sort of trouble with is with D&D, often the big payoff is at the end of a chain of smaller bullshit encounters. So you fight 10 kobolds and you fight 5 kobolds and you fight 8 kobolds and you fight some giant rats and you're like slowly working your way up to the kobold lair. You kill all the kobolds and you're rewarded not just with experience, but like treasure and shit.
Yeah.
For defeating the kobolds. But the problem is, in this happens in D&D games, use old Warcraft term, you're core hounding the adventure, in that you're like, okay, we're gonna go to town, we're gonna fight a bunch of undead, and then we're gonna back off before we fight the boss. Now we're gonna go after the kobolds, and then we're gonna back off before we get to the end. And it's not a criticism, but that's why you aren't encountering more money and gear and stuff, because you've sort of 75%ed a bunch of different tracks that you can kind of explore.
Right.
And the longer you leave something unresolved, the more opportunity I have to let it build up, right? Like the way that I run D&D especially is, there's a bunch of shit going on in the world and you can pick any of these things to kind of go after and focus on. But the ones you don't focus on, they're going to keep escalating and getting worse in the background. So you've got like the page and you've got the kobold thing and you've got the whatever's going on in the south and the undead stuff and the soldiers and the bandits. And all of this stuff is continuing to happen in the world. And you're picking what to deal with, but you haven't finished any of them yet. None of them gotten alpha struck down. So the world feels very overwhelming and full of these like escalating threats.
Right. But I mean, while that I agree with what you said, I kind of like that feeling. I kind of
Me too. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Like I think when we were meeting with the king and queen today, it was cool just to like, I felt like that was the one moment or the biggest moment yet where it felt like we were actually in that, like that we were playing a game in that world. It wasn't just like we were going from objective to objective. It was like, we're in this world. This is all of the shit that we've been a part of so far. And it actually surmounts to like, oh, okay, we're actually like, I feel like we could be in this world. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and for me, the big thing is just creating a space in which your choices have meaningful ramifications, positive and negative, right? So doing things matters, and not doing them matters. And
I've had that in my head too. Like, I know we've kind of, like you said, 75% kind of things, whatever, and then we backed off. But it's whenever we've known from the beginning, it's a really dangerous world. Death is absolutely an outcome. So what you kind of weigh out, like, do I still like my character? Do I want to start a new character, or is it worth it? Not necessarily getting this treasure right now, going back and regrouping, and then choosing to focus on something else that maybe is a little more worthwhile.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times it just comes down to, this isn't necessarily the most deadly encounter ever. It's just, we have shit rolls right now. Let's come back and attack it again. See what happens. Right.
Yeah. I mean, and the trick about putting stuff on delay too, is that, you know, you're going to go and deal with the page and stuff. And every day that passes is a day that the kobolds are going to get a chance to like repopulate and like figure out their shit and like get stronger. You know, things, I think this is an important thing that to create a world that feels real, is that, you know, you can't just put an adventure on pause.
That's what I like.
That's what's cool. You'll go back and things will be different.
Like, I'm assuming Thuy's dead. I'm assuming that at all times. Like, she's already dead to me.
Yeah.
And that makes me horrible, but whatever. I don't, like, it's just, it is what it is. Like, I've accepted.
Yeah. Part of me wanted to go into that cave and just try to, for the first time, see if we can beat a boss. And then hope it, but the flip side is we could all be dead and have certain new characters. So that's the hard part, is like, it's so brutal right now because we have all low health and stuff. But yeah,
I think like when we do finally finish out, like, you know, one of these main quests or whatever, and do reach the end and get our treasure or whatever, or die, whatever, it'll be that more fulfilling and rewarding. I think not just for us, but also the viewers will be like, finally, you know, I understand the viewers can get a little frustrated and stuff, but
definitely
we're also feeling out how we want to operate as a group, how we want our characters to either continue living or die, you know?
Yeah.
Right. I think for like just character development as well, not in the sense of XP, but in terms of like role playing, I felt like today's show was probably one of the biggest in terms of just moving forward with that, especially during, like we were talking about the king and queen scene, like that whole scene, I think everyone played really, really well when it came to acting as your character and performing in a sense of like what that would actually be like to be in that scene, to be in that spot at that particular moment. And so while it wasn't like we weren't fucking defeating the biggest, baddest monster, I still felt like that scene was really, really good from everyone involved. It was cool. It was cool.
Being able to talk to the queen, was it? The one that was the queen that was sitting down, right?
Yeah. Both of them were,
It was really cool. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, you have the end of the show today, which kind of ramped up out of nowhere. I had been expecting just to chop the guy's head off
right,
and be done with it the second that I thought he was going to turn. And I thought about doing it while I was sitting there. That's why I asked, like, if the guards were on or the servants were on some sort of like shift where a person would leave the room and then I could just go over and, you know, slit his throat very, very thinly.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't want to say how, but the episode and basically like things going forward, this was a point, like, if Zephira had killed the page before any of this had happened to prevent it, this would be a point where we would look at the campaign and it would go off in one direction versus going off in another. Right.
Right.
Like there would have been a very significant difference between those two.
Right. Options. And when you said that, like, or when the king and queen got upset about that in hour three, I think that was, that definitely changed. Like, I'm not going to kill this guy until he's actually dead. Cause it made sense. Like, hey, I probably shouldn't fucking act out and kill some of these, the royal, the quote, royalty here. But then, like, you know, do what?
As soon as that leaf, as soon as Adam mentioned like the leaf coming out of his mouth, that's when I just immediately was like, no.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's going down. Shit's going down.
Yeah. And I thought that was cool too. I think both for us as players and also us as viewers, that was a lot of fun. Like, I definitely had like a sense of like, oh God, this, I might die here. Like, should I turn and fight this thing? I don't think I did any damage to this. I can't get to chop that thing's head off. I don't know what to do here. So it's like, I guess I'm just going to run.
That was a tough spot to be in. I don't envy you being in that spot. Because the whole time I'm just like, I don't know what the fuck I would be doing. I'd probably do the same. See if I can do damage, then run.
So that was a lot of fun. And then, of course, we were going to end the episode right before that fight, but we ended it after the fight, which I think worked out just for, you know, the timeliness of the show, but in the sense of like, this room's on fire. There's still shadows about. Dan's used all of his spells. I don't really know how else to do damage to this stuff at the moment. So,
yeah,
all I have is really like fire. And even then, that's like, will that do damage to a shadow beast? Maybe.
I have two guiding bolts left if we need them, but there's three shadows though, so we have to figure out how to do the third one.
Yeah, the guiding bolt would be pretty good. Yeah,
because you got more when you leveled up, right?
Yeah, I have three spell casts now.
Well, that's good.
Guiding bolt does a lot of damage. Separate spell.
We can one thing we didn't touch on yet too, and I want to hear what JP and Dan think about is the character that sprung up seemingly out of nowhere in the inn first when we first saw him with the before the break with the knocking over the house of cards. And then a brief dialogue that I had with him, some random humanoid guy who's tattooed, kind of, wasn't he like cloaked or something? Like he was just, he was like cloaked up and had a staff and a scimitar. Definitely like, you know, not your average person. And I talked to him and he spoke.
Yeah. I suspect that he's connected to what happened to the,
like that's what I was thinking too. As soon as I heard the leaf thing, like, I'm like, okay, well maybe he popped this fucking leaf in the fucking page's mouth and you know, like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what to think of him. I'm intrigued by him, so that means he's a good NPC by Adam that we're all like talking about him, thinking about him, and what
we don't
what
know he's do. Good or bad, or and you know,
yeah,
an asset or a hindrance. So,
and we may have left the Cobbled Cave, but what happened at the end of this episode was so fucking cool. That was the epic end cap of the episode.
Yeah, if anything, it's to me, it's more interesting than the Kobold Cave, because it's like, it's kobolds. Like, they fucking do things in a cave, and they took Twee, but it's like, do I care about Twee? I mean, kind of, but not enough to fucking go and fight some giant rats and die because of it. But at this particular point, it's like...
Didn't really listen to us.
Yeah, yeah. But that, I mean, that's the character. That's the other thing, too, is that the audience definitely cared about Twee, or at least expressed as if they cared about Twee, as well as Plum, so... Adam's doing a good job there as well, I think. We might not, because our characters might not in that sense, but it's fun to see those type of NPCs just in the world, and if we decide to interact with them, they interact back. And if we don't, then, well, they die like Plum. Like, I think Plum did that because he was so brave because of the things that Baron had done. Like, he reacted that way because of his interactions with us.
Totally.
Yeah, like what we did and was like, I can do it too. I'm going to prove myself, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the second I saw him charge up there,
he's dead.
I was like, well, I can either run up there and do the same and risk, you know, getting hit four times by these fucking things and possibly diseased, or I think, can just like chill.
I think the thing to remember with Plum too is, had I rolled worse initiative for Plum, had the rats gone before, Velimir would be dead right now.
Yeah,
he would have gone unconscious. You're basically unconscious already from the stone. The rats would have charged you and just torn you apart. Because the rats, they eat bodies. That's a thing they do. So they would have just jumped on you and chewed you up.
Plum took one for Velimir.
There you go.
He will be remembered.
So that's one NPC. Well, possibly one and a half, I guess, for the show, I think. We don't know what happened to Twee's brother, so...
Yeah,
maybe that counts as two because it's two half deaths.
Yeah. Maybe if we get a spare time, we'll go back to that cave and try to kill.
Maybe Twee will reemerge as leader of the kobolds.
Yeah, the kobold queen.
Yeah, I want to see what happens too in the city next episode. So I guess we'll depart for now and then reconvene on Tuesday and see if we can get out of there alive, because there's three shadows left that we know about. The king and queen were supposed to have fled to safety. Yeah, we don't really know.
Mysterious guy.
Yeah, we got to figure out where he's at. Although I don't know if our characters would think he's there to... I guess he is suspicious, so we'd want to at least like talk to him.
Yeah, we're going to want someone to blame, and he's like...
He's still on our radar, and like I want to talk to him again and question him and see what's going on, probably with you guys.
Yeah.
Just so there's a little more of an intimidation.
I'm sure like the knight is not going to like the idea of letting other people into the city, because we said to do that, and then this happened. So, and I'll probably get some blame, too, for being in the room, maybe. I'll maybe get thought of as someone as a traitor. So that'll be fun. Next episode will be a lot of fun. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
So we'll see you guys then. Thanks everyone once again for your pledge. Hopefully you enjoyed this video. Feel free to post your comments in the comments section, and because we love reading that stuff. And we'll see you then. We're out. Have a good one. Bye bye.